But I had a friend recently that took his life. And Pastor and I were talking about that. And we were talking about the hope that only God can give. You know, there is a hope that only God can give. You know, it's interesting. Brother Eric's going down and we're sending teams and we're sending tools and we're sending finances down to South Texas to help rebuild homes. And the governor of Florida said, we can rebuild your home, but we can't rebuild your life. Well, I want you to know when we're going down there, if those people are breathing, we're not only rebuilding their homes, but we're rebuilding their lives because we're taking the gospel. We're taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a hurting and a dying world. And that's the whole purpose of, thank God Pastor has an outreach vision. Thank God Pastor is like that, because that's the whole purpose of a New Testament church. You know, the book of Acts is the pattern of the New Testament church. The book of Acts. And that's the whole purpose for a New Testament book of Acts church like Calvary Cathedral International, is to distribute hope to a dying and a hurting world. And we are doing that, ladies and gentlemen. We are doing that. And I thank God for that. Because God is the God of hope. And Pastor and I were talking about my friend. And then we started talking about other things. And he said, Charlie, you know, you need to get a word from God and share on the hope that only God can give. So this morning, I want to minister on the subject of hope. I want to minister on the subject of hope. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would. Hope everybody has your Bible, to our text today found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to talk about hope. We're going to minister hope today. 1 Peter 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, thank God for the mercy of God, His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, or that word could be translated, living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope, ladies and gentlemen, is not in things. Our hope is in a living Savior. God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Our hope is in a living person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not dead, ladies and gentlemen. He is alive. That empty tomb is empty because He's alive. We're going back to Israel in March of this coming year, and we're going to go in that tomb, and you go in that tomb and you begin to walk out and you see that sign that says, He is not here, He is risen. Our hope, ladies and gentlemen, is in a living person, the living Christ. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and hell. Can we give Jesus a big hand clap of praise? Amen. He is worthy. He is our living Savior. He is our living hope. There may be one or several in here. There may be one or several watching by way of webcast today that are struggling. Struggling on the inside. Struggling within. Struggling with life. Struggling with despair. Struggling with fear, struggling with uncertainty, struggling and without hope. Maybe other people know about your struggles, and maybe they don't. But I have good news for you today. There is hope for you today if you're struggling. I said there is hope for you today if you're struggling. Don't believe the lie of the devil that says there is no hope. That lie is over. It's all over. I'm telling you, the only thing that is over today is the devil's grip on your life. It is over. The devil has been caught and he must go in the name of Jesus. There is hope for you today. Isaiah 59:1 says, "The arm of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Ladies and gentlemen, he knows right where you are. Hear me. He knows right where you are, and he hears your heart's cry. There is hope for you today. I want to encourage you today. Don't let your troubles drive you from God. Let them drive you to God. Let hope drive you to God. Our God is a God of hope. Psalm 42, verse 5. Look at this scripture. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Hallelujah. Hope in God, ladies and gentlemen. Our hope comes from a risen, living Savior. That friend that just took his life, he was a lifelong friend of mine. Now, I want you to hear about this guy. He was a lifelong friend of mine. As a matter of fact, I've had numerous friends that I've had that have taken their lives. I had a friend in high school that attempted to take his life. His parents caught him just in time. He was in the car, he was out. I had a friend, a very close friend, that after college took his life. I had another friend, our dad's partner's son, Jeannie's and my dad's partner's son, took his life after he was out of college. I had another friend, actually my cousin, took his life just a year and a half ago. And now this friend. And every one of those people, hear me, every one of those people had several things in common. Number one, none of them was destitute. Every one of them had money. Every one of them had money. Is that surprising? It surprised me. Every one of them. You know, we hear so much of socioeconomic stuff. Every one of my friends that took their life had money. One of them was filthy rich. Seriously. Owner of the Texas Rangers, built that stadium out there. Filthy rich. They all had money. They all, listen to this, they all had family and friends that loved them and cared for them. They were not alone. They all had family and friends that loved them. And thirdly, every one of them was college educated. Every one of them. Matter of fact, the guy that, my high school buddy, that attempted suicide, he is now a medical doctor in another city in this state. Every one of them was college educated. Every one of them had money. Every one of them had family that loved them and cared for them. So what became obvious was this. Money doesn't give you hope. I said money doesn't give you hope. Where you live doesn't give you hope. What you drive doesn't give you hope. What you wear doesn't give you hope. Your status in life does not give you hope. If you're struggling within, all the things that this world has to offer will not give you hope. My friend that just recently took his life was an are you kidding me kind of a deal. Now let me tell you about my friend. Go back to him. Actually, all those were my friends. I mean, good friends. Financially, this guy that just took his life was rich. Now, he wasn't the filthy wealthy guy, but he was rich. There is a difference between rich and wealthy, you know what I mean. This guy was my age. I went to school with him, okay? I went to high school with him. He went off to the University of Texas. I stayed here in Fort Worth and went to TCU. And especially when we were younger, we hung around each other a lot. And I know he had literally never worked a day in his life. Never once did he go to the office and do anything. He was a big game hunter. You know, he would go and like there's four sheep, different kinds of sheep that you can kill in all these exotic places, and you get those and you get some type of trophy, and then you, anyway, he was a big game hunter. That's what he did. He drove a new Mercedes. He had a very nice home here in Fort Worth. He was always nice and friendly, and he always had a big smile. Always. He was a lot of fun to be around. Man, I grew up with the guy. I know. We spent time together. He was fun to be around. He was raised the same way. His parents were the same way. Always nice. Always a big smile. Always laugh. Always a laugh. I mean, just nice, down-to-earth, nice people. He was kind. He was respectful. From meeting with him and talking to him, you would have never, ever, ever suspected or known that on the inside he was struggling. You would never have known it. But he selfishly took his life and left everyone. I was there. Lori and I went. Left everyone to walk out of his memorial service about a month ago with blank stares of disbelief on their faces. Just like, how did this happen? Why would he do that? He had a lovely wife that loved him. He had friends, money, soul winners. Never take anything for granted. Never be distracted. A smile does not mean everything is okay. Coming to church doesn't mean everything is okay. The trappings of worldliness are not, it doesn't mean that everything is okay. It doesn't mean the world's trappings do not mean that everything is okay. That it is well. So I asked God about my friend because it was baffling. It's like, no, it was like never was there any hint of anything. I mean, it was just like, how you doing? And the next day he had taken his life. And I asked God about my friend. I asked, how could this happen when there were no signs whatsoever of trouble? And God spoke to me very plainly, and he said, your friend lost his hope. Your friend lost his hope. And I know there are other people like my friend. People that are looking good on the outside, but on the inside, they have lost their hope. In fact, I'm so thankful for a church that gives altar calls, because you know, before we are born again, we don't even have hope. We don't even have hope. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Before you're born again, you don't even have any hope. You might think you do. It might be youthful zeal. It might be some of the trappings that we just talked about, some money, a nice car, a nice house, whatever. But before we are born again, we have no hope. And listen, life happens. Life happens to all of us, and life is hard. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. I know. I was hopeless. But now I'm hopeful. I was hopeless. Now I'm hopeful. I am full of hope. And you can be full of hope too. God is a God of hope. My life was changed, and your life can be changed too. Even people that are born again can lose hope and ask, is there really any hope? Is there really hope for my life, my marriage, my children, my grandchildren? Is there hope for my business? Is there really hope for the mess that I've made? You know, God can clean up our messes too, because we're the only one that makes. Is there any hope for the mess that I've made? Can things be any better? I've made wrong choices. I've repeatedly failed. I feel trapped. I feel isolated from family and friends. Is there really any hope? And the answer is emphatically yes. There is hope in God. Joel 2:25 says, I will restore to you the years the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. God will restore to you the years that the devil has tried to steal from you, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you haven't done. It's from this point forward, God will restore those years to you. I'm a recipient of that promise. I'd made a mess of my life. I was through, ladies and gentlemen. I was thinking about this, praying over this message the other day, and it was like, it's hard to remember that guy, and it's hard to remember that guy, how far gone it was. But I don't want to magnify the devil, but I do want to be sure that I glorify God for where he's brought me from. He's brought all of us from a long way. But I remember, I was through, I was broke, I owed everybody I knew, I was alone, I was drunk, I was drugged up, I was angry, I was bitter, I was hurt, but I saw God in one person, my wife Lori. Hallelujah. And I began to come to myself. You know, the Bible says, remember the prodigal came to himself? You can come to yourself. And I remember where I was the moment I came to myself. I remember that moment when I woke up in that drug dealer's house in the morning and just thought, what am I doing here when all these other people? One step at a time, I came to myself. It really is line upon line and precept upon precept. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, if God can change my life, he can change your life. Nothing is impossible with our God. And even this church has seen outstanding miracles in people's lives, in people's families, in people's marriages, in people's businesses. This church has seen God do the impossible. For you see, this Bible right here is a book of hope. This Bible is a book of hope. So let's look into the Word of God and just see a couple of examples of how God came through with hope. And I'm going to hurry up because I don't have much time. I didn't want to paint too bleak of a picture, but I'm telling you, there's people that are so hopeless, they're taking their own lives, and these things shouldn't be, because there is hope in our God. There is hope in our God. In the midst of hopeless situations, God will show up with hope if you'll look for him. How about Adam and Eve? You think they kind of messed up? But as soon as they messed up, there was God giving hope, saying, I have a plan. I have a plan to defeat the devil. I have a plan to restore everything that was lost. I have a plan of salvation. I have a plan of restoration. I mean to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he has a plan for you today. How about Abraham? Abraham had to believe God. He and Sarah were at a place physically beyond hope of having any children. But the Bible says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. He believed in hope. He staggered not at the promise of God. No matter how far out there it seemed, he staggered not, but he gave glory to God. There is hope. How about Joseph? My goodness, talk about people talking behind your back. And it was his own family to boot. You know? And his own family sold him, and they put him in a pit. They left him to die in a pit. And then he went to a prison and left him to die in the prison. You know, there was nobody going to find him in that prison for all the days of his life. But God showed up. But God showed up. But God showed up. And God brought him out. How about Job? Job verse chapter 7, verse 6. Job said, "My days are spent without hope." My days are spent without hope. But Job did not quit on God. Even when his wife told him to curse God and die, he would not do that. God showed up with hope and brought him out with twice as much. Hallelujah. Twice as much. How about Jonah? Tried to hide. Run from God. He wished, Bible says he wished to die. But God said, "No, I'm going to use you to reach a multitude." God is saying, "I want to use you to reach people for me." And God brought hope, and God brought a great revival through the ministry of Jonah. And I'm telling you, he's speaking to everyone within the sound of my voice right now. God wants to use you to bring hope to a lost and hurting world. Come on, give God praise for that. Amen. How about Elijah? You can go through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation and the maps. And it's all in, the hope is all through there. Elijah was surrounded on every side, and his servant freaked out. And he was like, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And the prophet responded with hope and said, "There's more with us than be with them." How about the widow woman? Speaking of Elijah, last meal and die. Last meal, and she and her son were going to die. But God brought a prophet and said, "There is hope. Get sow it first, and you watch what I'll do for you." And God fed her and her son and the prophet. I believe he fed the whole city. How about Gideon? If anybody's been to Israel with us, they've seen this. 300 men, and there's this huge valley. There's this huge valley out by those places where they were lapping water. And 300 men, and that whole valley was covered with people. And 300 men totally destroyed those whole armies. Hope. God responds with hope. Hezekiah, "Get your house in order, you're going to die." But God responded with hope. Gave him 15 more years. How about the disciples in the boat? They thought they were going to die. Jesus was walking on the water and would have passed them by, but they cried out in hope, and Jesus came to them. How about the demoniac of Gadara? I cannot wait to talk to that guy. I'm so excited to talk to him because he was in the tombs. He was in the tombs, ladies and gentlemen. He lived in the graveyard in the tombs. And he couldn't help himself. The Bible says he would cry and he was cutting himself all the time. He couldn't help himself. I know what that's like. But one day, Jesus came by that guy. Jesus came by that man and brought hope and deliverance. And then the Bible says the people were afraid. The guy was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And the Bible said the people that came out were afraid. I know exactly what that's like. When God changes your life like that, when God changes your life like that, people look at you and say, "What is wrong with you? There is no way that this could be the same person, male or female." But I'm telling you, God can change your life in an instant. God can change your life. He can bring deliverance. He can bring salvation. How about the man born blind? "Once I was blind, but now I see." How about Paul on that ship when all hope was gone? "Be of good cheer. The angel of God showed up to me tonight, and I believe God." Over and over again in the midst of hopeless situation, God showed up with hope. There really is hope with God. Now let me read you some of the scholars' definitions of hope. W. Vine says that hope is the favorable and confident expectation. It has to do with the unseen and the future. Hope is the happy anticipation of good. It's the favorable and confident expectation. It has to do with the unseen and the future. I'm telling you, our future is as bright as the promises of God, ladies and gentlemen. And hope is the happy anticipation of good. Now, there is a natural hope that most people, you know, we've learned to say, most of us, most people have, well, take care. We've learned the power of our words. And we do that on some words, but usually hope is like a stepchild. But it's not a stepchild in the Word of God. God said, there abideth faith, hope, and love forever. Hope, you know, you'll hear a lot of people say, well, I'm just a hoping and a praying, or I sure hope so, like, well, there's really no way, but I guess I'll just say I hope so. You know, we need to watch how we use hope, because there's a natural hope and there's a supernatural hope. There's a spiritual hope. Natural hope is no more than just wishing. It's just a wish. Natural hope is like it's just a desire, but it has no force behind it. It has no power behind it, because there's no word of God behind it. There's nothing behind it to cause things to change. Natural hope can't withstand the assault of everyday life. It can't. It will eventually give in. Hope is not an emotion, the same way faith and love are not emotions. We don't feel hopeful. Hope is learned. Hope is a spiritual force. Hope says, no matter what is going on around me, my hope and my trust is in God. He will never, ever fail me. Give God praise for that. Amen. Hope is supernatural. Hope is a spiritual force and must be activated by spiritual principles. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. It's not just a hoping and a wishing and a praying. Hope flies in the face of calamity and says, I believe God. It is the confidence that things will get better. Not just because you wish it gets better, but because God is on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? Absolutely nobody. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace to give you an expected end, a hope and a promise. The key to any challenges in life is hope in God. So where does it come from? Hope comes from the Scriptures. Hope, that's why the Word of God is so vitally important. That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God every day. Because hope comes from the Scriptures. Look at Romans 15:4. Do you have that, Richard? Hope comes through the Scriptures, through the Word of God. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Hope comes from the Scriptures, directly from the Word of God. Look at Romans 8, verses 24 through 25. This is an eye-opener. For we are saved by hope. Wow. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. In other words, hope is seeing something in our spirits that cannot be seen with the natural eye. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hope is seeing on the inside what you can't see on the outside. Hope is like a positive imagination. The ability to see things in your heart that you can't see with your natural eyes. So God and the Scriptures are our source of hope. Psalm 38:15, for in thee, O Lord, do I put my hope. Psalm 39:7, my hope is in thee. Psalm 75, verse 1, my hope is in God, not in circumstances, money, the things of this world. My hope is in God. All right, two more major points. I'm going to wrap it up. What are some of the supernatural benefits of hope? Psalm 146, verse 5, happy is the person that has hope in God. Happy. Happy. Happy is the person that has his hope in God. Acts 2:26, my flesh shall rest in hope. It'll give you rest to your body. Hope. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Hope purifies. Hope has purifying power. In other words, hope inspires us to clean living. You know what our pastor says? Live pure and clean before God. That's what hope does. Hebrews 6:18 through 19. Hope is the anchor. It's the soul sure anchor in the storms of life. Man, it's all over the Bible. Hope. Romans 8:24 through 25, we're saved by hope. 1 Thessalonians 4, we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Thank God we're not ones that don't have hope. We know where our saved loved ones go when they leave this body. Hallelujah. We don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Acts 27, when all hope was lost, God spoke to Paul. Psalm 31:24, be of good courage and he will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Wow. It'll strengthen your heart. I've known people that have had heart problems that have received that for their physical heart, and they are still living today. Hallelujah. He will give you courage and he will strengthen your heart. That's what hope will do. Hope abides forever. Hope assures us of a heavenly treasure. Man, I can go on and on. Hope anticipates Christ's coming. Hope grounds us in the resurrection of Christ. God's eye is upon us when we hope in God. Psalm 33:18. Hallelujah. Here's my favorite one, though. Hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hope maketh not ashamed. Here's what that means. God's hope will never disappoint you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's hope will never disappoint you. You see, hope is a spiritual force, and it must be activated by spiritual principles. So how do we get this hope? I'm going to go through it real quick, but how do you get it? Okay, well, obviously hope is applying the Word of God to every circumstance in life, but how do you get it? What do you do? Number one, how do you get this hope? We obtain God's supernatural hope. To obtain it, you must turn aside and seek God. You must turn aside and seek God. Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, I mean, how hopeless can you get? The guy's 80 years old. He's on the backside of the desert. He's not in a nice place. He's on the backside of the desert. 80 years old. He'd fled from the face of Pharaoh after killing some guy. And he saw a burning bush. And the Bible says he turned aside to see this great sight. And when he turned aside to see this great sight, God noticed him and called him by name, Moses, Moses. Amen? It was when he turned aside to see the great sight that God responded to him. When you turn aside to seek God, God will notice and he will speak to you. Come on, somebody give God praise. This is the word of God. When we turn aside to seek God by putting him first and focusing on him and not the things of life, I'm telling you, he notices. God notices. He notices and he will speak to us. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know what that means, though? It gets quiet now. That means, may mean eliminating some time-wasting distractions and situations, i.e. watching endless hours of television. You ever notice if you've watched a lot of television, how you look? I mean, it's like Tucker Carlson on Fox News. You just want to, like, man, snap out of it. It may mean changing your habits on what you watch, what you hear, distractions. You know, Jesus said, take heed what you see and take heed what you hear. That's so important. I'll tell you why. Here's a scripture that just, 2 Peter 2:8 says that it's through seeing and hearing the ungodly people's words and actions day by day that vexed Lot's righteous soul. It was seeing and hearing what the ungodly people did day by day, is what the King James says, day by day. Every day, a little bit here, a little bit there. I'm seeing what they're doing. I'm hearing what they're doing. And what it says, it vexed Lot's righteous soul. It's like a cancer when you just feed on that stuff that eats away a little bit by a little bit, day by day, and it vexed his soul. That means he began to question. He began to question his righteousness. He began to be harassed or be distressed in his soul. So take heed what you see and take heed what you hear. That's turning aside to seek God. Number two, another way to get this hope is you must be covenant-minded. We have a covenant with God, ladies and gentlemen. It's a better covenant established on better promises, just like when David called Mephibosheth. And it was like what you were saying up here earlier, Brother Dan. David asked this. He said, is there any of the house of Saul that I may bless or show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? And God is asking the same thing right now. Is there any of the household of the human race that I may show kindness to for Jesus' sake? God is saying, is there anyone here that I can prosper? Is there anyone here that I can heal? Is there anyone here that I can bless? Is there anyone that I can show kindness to show riches to because of what Jesus did? You don't have to fear. Remember, Mephibosheth came and he was on the ground. He was afraid. And basically what David said, get up. Stand upright on thy feet. I'm not blessing you because of you. I'm blessing you because of Jonathan. And Jesus is saying, I'm not blessing you because of you. I'm blessing you because of what Jesus did. God is saying, it's what Jesus did. We have a covenant with Almighty God. Hallelujah. He said, you're going to eat at my table the rest of your life. I'm going to give you back everything the devil stole. I'm telling you, he's going to give you back everything the devil stole. You're going to be eating at God's table all the days of your life in Jesus' name. Number three, way to get this hope. The Holy Ghost must be central to your life. See, this is not a hoping and a wishing. This is spiritual. Romans 15, 13. You got that, Richard? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Shikarabasokorabasa. Ibarabasa. God wants to fill you with joy and peace, but notice it takes the power of the Holy Ghost to accomplish this. Joy and peace don't come through our own human abilities or our own strength or the outward trappings of life. Joy and peace don't come from without. They come from within through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's all about the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen. Number four, the fourth way to obtain the God kind of hope, you must think hope. You must think hope. We must think God's thoughts. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul is telling us in the New Testament what we're to think on. He's given us his word so we can think on right things. He's given us his word that we can overcome. He's given us this word so we can live victorious in life. If we will think on these things, we will be strong in faith. We will have joy and peace. We will not be subject to depression. We will be blessed in every respect of life. Take heed what you see and what you hear. Look at one more verse right there. Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We've got to think hope. This is powerful. To be carnally minded doesn't lead to death or doesn't tend to death. It is death. Thinking about just natural stuff, what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we touch, that's death. But to be spiritually minded, to be the Word of God minded is life and peace. It doesn't just tend to that. It is life and peace. Hope comes only from the Scriptures. So you must think hope. Number five, you must believe hope. All things are possible to him that believeth. You must believe hope. In the midst of the storm, the Apostle Paul said, I believe God. Wow. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You must believe God. Matthew 21, 22, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Believe. You must believe for that hope. You must believe hope, the God kind of hope, supernatural hope, spiritual hope. Number six, in order to get hope, you must speak hope. You've got to speak it. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Have you ever had someone say something to you that you've never forgotten? That is an apple of gold in a frame of silver. Something that was spoken at the right time, in the right way, by the right person. It's like apples of gold in frames of silver. In other words, it hangs on the memory of your heart forever. It makes a difference in your life. I remember one time when I was still in the world before I was born again, and I'd been up all night doing what you do when you're doing that. And we went to President's Health Club at about 9 or 10 in the morning. And I walked in there, and we were loud, and we were obnoxious, and we were still on all the stuff, still high. And I walked in, and there was a born-again believer, I didn't know that, behind the desk. And they said, if you would turn that energy that you have for God, He would use you in a great way. I've never forgotten it. I've never forgotten it. As a matter of fact, when I got born again and Lori brought me here to Calvary Cathedral International, that person was in this church. What is the best thing someone has ever said to you? I know one of the best things ever anyone ever said to me was when Lori said, "I do." Thank you, Jesus. Lori was telling me when I was talking to her about this message, she said, I remember my dad, she was watching a Miss America pageant one time, and Lori said, "I would like to do something like that." And her dad told her, "You can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to be." Can you think of something that somebody spoke to you that has always stayed on the frame of your heart that's changed your life? These words hang in our memories forever, speaking hope into a person's life. God, when God speaks to us, He speaks hope. That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God. Read the Word of God. But even then, remember David? Remember David? David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's why it's so important for you to speak to your own future. You need to stir it up. You need to speak to yourself. That's right. 2 Corinthians 4:13, "We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." It's important to speak hope into your own life. One last one. The seventh way to obtain the God kind of hope is to sow hope. It's to give it. It's to give it to somebody else. To give hope to somebody else. To sow seeds of hope. The kingdom principle of sowing and reaping. It produces a harvest. A harvest. You want hope in your life? Give hope to someone else. Encourage someone else. Jesus came to give us hope. I said Jesus came to give us hope. And Jesus said, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." The God of hope, ladies and gentlemen. I believe every person in the sound of my voice is born again. We've had a wonderful altar call this morning. The God of hope is in you. Sow hope. Give somebody else hope today. Give somebody else good news, grace, love, peace to people that are in despair. Just like Brother Eric's doing. He's not just taking a bunch of hammers down there. Yes, he's taking those, but he's also taking the hope of the gospel. To receive hope, we must sow hope. Amen. Let's all stand in the presence of God this morning. He's the God of hope. And the first thing, you know what we're going to do? Everybody hold steady, if you would, please, just for a moment, and we're going to stir up some hope in this room. Hallelujah. We're going to stir up our own hope, and we're going to give somebody else hope. And the Bible said the first thing was, remember, it's by the power of the Holy Ghost. So if everybody would hold steady, please, just for a few minutes, And let's stand here and let's pray. Let's stir up that hope right now. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's, everybody that's in this room, lift up your voice right now. Lift up your voice and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, we abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that name that's above every name. Come on and lift your voice, saints. We got a room full of people. Lift your voice unto God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, Lord. We stir up that hope that's within us, O God. We stir up that hope that's within us, O God. Now, just as David encouraged himself in the Lord, start speaking hope to your future right now. Start prophesying to your own future right now. Come on, lift your voice right now. Speak words of hope to your situation. Whatever you're believing God for right now, speak words of hope to your situation. Words of joy, words of peace, words of victory. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you right now. Speak hope to your situation. Speak words of victory to your situation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That name that's above every name. Hallelujah. Now find somebody next to you and give them hope. Speak God's words to somebody next to you right now. Speak words of hope over someone right now. Minister hope. Give hope. Sow hope. Plant the seed of hope right now in the name of Jesus to someone else. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. The hope of God. The hope of God, to live a victorious life. Hallelujah, the God of all hope. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, our hope is in you, O God. Our hope is in the living Savior, the risen King of kings and the Lord of lords. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on now, let's give God praise. Come on, let's give Him praise. Hallelujah, let's give Him praise. Hallelujah, come on, give Him praise in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I pray hope became a little clearer. If you need further ministry, Lori and I and the staff here at Calvary will be happy to pray for you up here at the front. Otherwise, don't forget tonight, hallelujah, Brother Dan Kraft's going to be ministering the Word of God. It's going to be awesome. Come back tonight at 6:30. God bless you. Go with God. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. How I pray.